Welcome to Section 9. My name's Damian Hall.
And I'm Dorothy. And today we're going to be talking about what happened when we moved Switch 1 and the Asus router from VLAN 1 or Subnet 1 into my home production network.
Yeah, so this is the stuff that you had on your test network. And we're talking about the new network that we're trying to build for your home that's more secure than the one you have now.
Right. So the first thing that we had done here in our testing network, in our Section 9 office, is we had configured the Asus router and we had configured the switch, did some basic configurations of things that we wanted, added the IP address for subnet one, just kind of try to figure out if it was going to work. Now, this part that we did this week was so terrifying for me, but
let's say this here, because this is really important.
Yeah.
What you did was a big deal because...
For me, it was.
You took your Asus router from your test network, took it home, switched them out, and the thing worked flawlessly. And not only did it work flawlessly, you tested everything to make sure it was working properly.
Well, but here's the thing. Before we did take it over there, there was one little piece that we had to do.
Okay, hold on here. So earlier in the week, I want to mention this here because this is really important. We talk about the things that we're learning from these projects. This is where I learned something. So earlier in the week, we sat down in front of our microphones to practice our podcast and talk about our project. We ended up talking about your new network. And you mentioned a couple of things that's really interesting here. And I mentioned one thing that kind of made me start thinking about these things. You said you were nervous about all of this. And you said something about, making mistakes and having it, not work at all. And I said, yes, that's a big possibility. You could do something or have this thing over there and it doesn't work at all. And then you said you needed to have your printer. You had to have that because it's a multifunction printer. It does scanning. You want to be able to scan your documents and you have deadlines and things that you want to send to people. So you said, I have to have that. I can't be doing this and then my printer doesn't work. I need that. That's just like a business environment where IT is doing stuff, but they have to make sure people can still get work done. You can't be going in there making changes and then have the network go offline. That's not going to be good for anybody. So then I'm thinking about our backout plan. What do we do if something goes wrong? Originally, what I wanted to do was have you take the configurations you have on your Asus router in your lab and apply that to the one you have at home.
Reconfigure the whole thing, basically.
And just add stuff to that. Whatever's missing, you just add them. And then I said to myself, that's not very good. It's okay. It may work, but there's no guarantee that the settings we put in there are gonna function properly. And what if we make a mistake someplace? So then I said, okay, let's change that process so that we have a way of going back that's better, that's easier to work with. We know that the router at home is working properly. We don't know if the settings we have on the test network are going to function. So let's leave the one at home alone. Let's not change anything on there. And that's why I had you take the settings from that one and apply it to the lab network and then take that router and switch it out. So if something goes wrong, what do? Put the other one back.
Well, and one of the things that, was having trouble with the router that I had at home, only because I hadn't updated the firmware like I should have on a regular basis. And we were losing some of the connection on the Chromecast and our phones sometimes were having a really hard time. So I went ahead and I updated that in the chance that if this wasn't working and that was our backup plan, that it would have the most updates. But I think the thing that was hardest for me was, we've been working on this project, talking about it, did the network diagram, we did the subnets, we put it in our test environment, which I thought was our test environment, which it was, made sure that it could see the switch, that it was connected, to the network properly, my workstation, did static IP addresses, did all of that, and it worked. But here was my pause. The minute that you looked at me and said, we're implementing it tonight, I freaked out on the inside. And I kept thinking, Oh my God, of all the things that could go wrong, like you said, my printer, that's critical for me because I do have to have certain documents scanned. And that's my bread and butter. I really need to have that. I cannot be without my scanner and my printer. And then I thought, oh my God, the TVs are not going to work. Nothing is going to work. I'm not going to have access to my workstations, my Surface Pro and blah, 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 blah. And then I thought to myself, okay, but worst case scenario, if I do plug this in and it doesn't work, I can always plug it back into my initial router. So as we were driving over there, we took the switch and we took the Asus router. As we were driving over there, I was trying to kind of calm myself down, like, oh my gosh, you know. And then I got home and I was still dragging my feet. I was still going, no. And I looked at you and what did I say to you? I'm really tired. Can we just do this tomorrow? And you're like, nope, nope, you know. So we kind of had, I was kind of mad that you wanted me to do it, that you were actually forcing me to do it. And I got to thinking, you know, when I was going to school and you kept saying to me, you just have to jump in and do it. You have to start playing with the devices. And I kept saying to myself, this guy has no idea what I'm going through because I wouldn't know what to do with the device if my life depends on it. I don't know how to configure it. I don't know what the device can do. I don't even know where to begin. And I kept thinking, you know, I did the subnetting. It worked on the other network. All I got to do is just sit back and relax. And what was the first thing that I had told you months ago that the hardest thing was? You learn things in the book, but they don't tell you how to plug it in. And I was sitting in there looking at the Asus router and the switch and my home router. And I'm like, where am I going to plug this in? You know? And then I just thought to myself, okay, I went through, what is it that I need for my network? I need internet connection. So I went ahead, I unplugged the cable from my internet connection on my home router. I unplugged it and I plugged it into the internet connection on my new Asus router configured with my home SSID, which I had to do that and change the password before we implemented in there. And I plugged that in and I'm like, okay, that's the internet part of it. And then I'm like, okay, what now? What else do I have plugged into my old router that I'm going to need? And I had my router plugged into a little plug and play switch, a little tiny one in there. So what I did is I went and I grabbed one cable and I plugged it into one of the ports of my new Asus router that I was implemented and plugged it into one of the ports for VLAN 1 or the switch 1. And I thought, okay, I got this. So now I'm sitting in there and I'm thinking to myself, how in the world is my printer going to know what network it's in? And one of the things that we had done before we went in there, you had me configure a static IP address for my printer on the new network. And I sat in there and I'm thinking, oh my God, how is the printer going to know that this is its new network? You know, and I tried to do a print or whatever, and it was sitting in there trying to get an IP address, and it did get one because my printer is actually wireless, you know. So I went in there and I looked at the network settings into the wireless thing, and I saw the IP address on VLAN 1's or Subnet 1's network, and I was like, yes, you know. And then I had put this little app on my phone called Thing. And that one shows you all your devices that are on your network, and it has all the IP addresses for all the devices. And I decided, well, I'm just going to go look in there. And every single one of my devices was having, you know, the IP address of the new network. So I thought, wow. I mean, like you said, it worked flawless. But if I had to do this in a work environment, that was like my first experience. Like if I would have gotten an IT job and somebody at work would have asked me to do that, I would have been panicking and just double checking and triple checking and making sure. And it's like, oh, the fear of screwing up, you know? So yeah, did not have a heart attack, but I really was stressing over the whole thing.
Okay, so we're going to summarize here and we're going to start talking about some of the details of what you did. So one of the things I want to make sure you understand is that when you configured an IP address for your printer, we did that inside of the Asus router using right. DHCP. And when we went in there, we set it up so we could do manual assignments of IP addresses
correct.
Using the MAC address of the printer. So here's where we start using some interesting tools. Before we left your home, you got some settings off your Asus router at home. And I should point out that these are identical Asus routers, same model.
Right, they're the same model.
So what you did was you pulled the wireless information off, and then I said, check to see if you have Nmap installed on your Surface Pro.
Surface Pro. Mm-hmm.
And I wanted you to do a scan of your existing network, and then we saved that, and it showed all your devices in there. And then when we came back to your lab to set up the new Asus router, we went ahead and used that scan to get the MAC address of the printer, and then we put that into the DHCP configuration. So one of the things that I find very useful is Nmap. I use that a lot. It's a great troubleshooting tool, tells you what's on your network, tells you what kind of services are there. And you did something interesting, because every single time we talk about Nmap, I always say the same thing. Never do what?
An in-depth scan, a deep scan.
Correct. Yeah. So there's, and I don't even remember what it's called, but it's like in-depth or something like that.
Yeah.
And that's the default setting, which is to me crazy, because anytime
or
you
an
use
aggressive scan, you
something,
know, something
like
that.
Yeah, it's like aggressive or in-depth or something like that. And what it's going to do is it's going to really probe the device and try to find out what's going on with that particular device. In an enterprise environment, you never want to do that, because you could take the device offline. Because it's being utilized. Like if it's a server, if it's a switch, if it's a router, it's being used. There's lots of connections happening on that particular system. If you scan it, you may take up all the leftover resources and cause that particular device or server to stop working. The network stack is going to freak out, and there's no more resources left. So what do you end up having to do? In some cases, you may have to reboot that device. So if you're going to do a scan during business hours, while things are being used, you probably want to do either a quick scan, or maybe if it's a device that's not being utilized too much, quick scan plus.
Yeah, I like we did the quick scan plus, and I really like that. And not only was I able to see the services and the IP addresses of my devices, but I was actually able to identify everything that was on.
Yeah, so we got two things out of that scan. We figured out what devices you have on your network. It showed you your Chromecast, your Fire Stick, your printer, your Surface Pro, phones.
Yeah. But you know, I have two Amazon sticks and two Chromecasts, and it showed them both.
Well, the two, yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Anyway,
and then you all, the phones.
Yeah, the phones. So we got your device list, and then we needed the MAC address of your printer. So we got a couple of things out of that scan. And there's some other things that we can learn from that if we go back and look at services that are on the network. Once you did that, we went ahead and double-checked the settings on your Asus router on the lab. And here's what I want to point out, and we're going to go into this in some detail here. Last episode, we talked about the OWASP top 10. We talked about how that's a list of the top 10 potential vulnerabilities or weaknesses you may have in a web-based application.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked about how I didn't do very well with that question in my job interview, where they said, what is the OWASP top 10? So in this case, we're not dealing with web-based applications. I mean, your Asus router does have a web interface, so that's similar, but we're not managing a web-based application. So how do we use that experience in this particular situation? We can say that the OWASP top 10 is a list of vulnerabilities. So when we look at device configuration, in this case, your Asus router, we're looking for vulnerabilities or weak points within your Asus router.
We did end up, because of that, we did end up turning off the UPnP.
Correct. So this is what we have to think about. UPnP or Universal Plug and Play?
Right.
I didn't tell you what that is. That's one of your homework assignments, is to figure out what that is.
Mm-hmm.
But that's something that we turned off because that's a vulnerability. And then we looked at your wireless setup. You have a really good password, so you made that more secure. You changed the default password to log into the Asus router. So it's not a default password. You changed that. That's potential vulnerability there. You fixed that. So we're looking for weaknesses in the system. And we're making sure that those get changed so that your system's more secure. It's harder for somebody to get in. So again, no universal plug and play. Change the default password to log in. Change the Wi-Fi passwords for both 2.4 and 5 gigahertz to something more secure. You have a long one in there. You've always had that. And that's really good because it makes it really difficult for somebody to hack in. You have different IP addresses. This one, I know I've seen it in places where they say if you change up the IP addresses, that's kind of more secure. I don't know if I agree with that, but at least it's not the default ones.
Well, I did have my home network on the default IP address because my network was on the same network and it was easy and simple. The thing that I had done was to actually change the password, you know, the default password. But it's still, you know, the minute that I started implementing this, that was really obvious to me, like, I should have done something with that default IP address because everybody can log into an ASUS router with it.
Well, they need to have that password in there. So because you changed the password.
I understand that, but still, it makes me feel more comfortable now that it's on a really different network IP address to where it's not a common one.
Right. And we'll put a list of things in the show notes and on the website so people can see that. But these are some things that you can do to make the system more secure. And if you think about other best practices, like we talk about the Center for Internet Security's critical security controls, one of those is managing your configuration. So we can say, okay, we have a configuration for the ASUS router, and we believe it's more secure than the default settings. And then you can say, okay, we are going to document that and maybe save the configuration. There should be some place in there where you can actually download the configuration. So if you want to put it back, let's say you make a change and you say, okay, that change was wrong, I want to put everything back, you can just upload the configuration and have it applied, and it has all the original settings you had in there.
And I haven't researched how to do that, but I did take notes of the things that we changed. So I can have that just in case that, you know.
Yeah, and so what we have here is we're using the OWASP Top 10 to realize that not only do web-based applications have potential vulnerabilities or weak points, your ASUS router can have them, the network can have them, and then we're looking at things like your critical security controls, and we're documenting more secure configurations for our devices.
Well, and one of the things, like initially we did that nmap scan, and then, you know, I didn't do another one. I just looked at my Thing application. But what I really want to do is once that we move the entire network how we want it on that diagram over to my house, what I really want to do is then do another nmap scan and actually document all the hardware and all the IP addresses and everything else, the software, hardware and everything.
Right. And that goes to
the critical
security controls. Mm-hmm. That's like number one.
Right.
You know, the inventory of your devices. Do you know what devices are on your network? Should they be there?
Do you know what software you're running on those devices that is acceptable? Do you know? Because one of the things that I didn't like about the ASUS router, it has a USB port in it to where, it's supposedly wonderful for you to transfer files or plug things in. And, you know, I'm not comfortable with that. I think that's a security risk. But
yeah, there are issues with some of those things because a lot of these home routers that you get at Best Buy, they're not very secure in that, you know, the security is kind of an afterthought. And in fact, some of these companies have been shamed into releasing updates because for a while, some of them didn't do any updates. And when you clicked on the update button, it didn't actually do anything. It made it look like something was happening, but behind the scenes, no software was being installed, so you never got any updates.
And then there was something that you wanted to do so somebody couldn't get in and configure. What was that? And I know you mentioned it, and it just escapes me right now.
Yeah, some routers will have a place in there, a setting, so that you can turn off the ability to access the web interface, the admin interface, to configure the device from the wireless. You can actually get rid of that. So that somebody would have to have, you know,
physical access to your network to be able to do it, correct?
Correct. And I didn't see that in there. But one thing I did see is that you can set it up so that specific IP addresses can access the admin interface. So that might be something you want to look at in the future, is to say, okay, my workstation, my Surface Pro, we're going to give them specific IP addresses, and only these IP addresses are going to be allowed to configure the ASUS router. And then you would punch them in to the ASUS Wi-Fi router, and then that's how you would access it from those IP addresses. You might even be able to specify a network in there. I don't know how that actually works. We'll have to look at that.
We'll have to research that. But, you know, right now, for me, this little bit is big.
Yeah. So, you know, it's we've done a lot and we've learned, both of us have learned a lot from this. You have, you know, the known devices on the network, a better configuration for your ASUS router. It's more secure. Your switch is in place, the Cisco switch. Now what we need to do is take a look at the Cisco switch and figure out what kind of configuration do we have to have on there. That's going to be a little bit difficult for you to do. So what I have to do is take a look at the existing configuration and figure out what's missing, what do we have to add to it, and how are you going to manage that? Because you don't want to have to use the console cable all the time, because that means you're going to have to be directly connected and sit next to that thing. And this is the same thing you would have in an enterprise environment where the Cisco switch is going to be in some server room someplace. Well, you don't want to have to take a laptop and walk over there every time you want to make a change. So what we're going to have to do is figure out what kind of protocols do you want to use to remotely access that switch? Telnet versus SSH. Why do we not use Telnet? Oh, we're going to use SSH. Correct. SSH has the encryption. So these are some things that we want to think about as we configure that switch to make it more secure.
Can we remove Telnet access on the switch?
Yes. And okay. Not only can we remove Telnet access, but what we can do is we can say, okay, I don't want anybody on subnet 1 to be able to access SSH.
Okay.
So you can deny access to port 22 from subnet 1. That's where the power of your access control list comes into play. So that you have to be on subnet 2 to be able to access the configuration of the switch. So these are some things that we can think about in terms of introducing more security into your network. And what we really need to do, because this is going to take you some time to figure out how to do, not really security related, but you're going to add some security to it eventually. And that's your Synology disk station.
Right. So I need to configure that too.
Right. So we need
I've been doing some of my homework on that.
Yeah. And you have a video on that.
I have
shows
a video
you how
and
to,
I have some notes on how to do certain things. But again, you know.
Yeah. And so we need to get that switch configured so that you can access it remotely and make sure that when you go to plug in things like your Synology disk station, that the right ports are configured and you have access to it. To make sure it's functioning properly.
Right. And then one of the things that we did with the login is we added a specific port to it. So it has to, you know, when we did the login to the router.
Oh,
remember?
Yes. That was the other thing.
HTTPS?
Yeah, that was the other thing that we missed. So on the ASUS router, it was set up for HTTP access of the web interface.
And you can have actually both. But we decided to go with HTTPS, correct?
Yeah, HTTPS is more secure. It's encrypted, so nobody can see what you're doing as you're accessing the system. So we set it up to HTTPS, but now you have to document that because you're right. It's not a standard port.
Right.
So you have to include the port number by adding colon something something.
And then whatever the port number is.
Yeah, whatever the port number is.
And I did document that. And that was one of the things that I didn't know. Not that I didn't know that you have the colon and the port, because we've done that with some of your devices. But when we were writing the instructions and you go, make sure you write that link. And I was like, what is he talking about? When I looked at the HTTPS, you know, and then the IP address, and then, you know, you said document that because that's going to be important. That's when it dawned on me. Oh, I see. So this is part of the security. I didn't realize that when you did HTTPS, it was going to do that.
Yeah, and that's going to make it more difficult for somebody to try to get in, because they may not know that there's another port number you have to put in there. And that may be a default port number. I mean, all ASUS routers may have that when you select HTTPS. So there's probably ways in which you can figure out what that is. But again, we're using more security to make it more difficult for somebody to possibly see what you're doing and gain access to things they should not have access to.
Can we change that port number? Or is it just... Will it only allow you to use the default one when you do HTTPS?
I don't think you can change that. I think you're stuck with whatever they give you.
Okay.
So overall, we have done huge things here. you know, we're introducing more security into your devices like your Asus router, and we're learning about better backup plans so that we can put things back together if something goes wrong. We're thinking about vulnerabilities that you have on the network. We turn certain things off on your Asus router to make it more secure because those are vulnerabilities. You put better passwords and things like that. So we're slowly getting to the point where these things are going to start to make more sense, in that when we talk about the OWASP top 10, oh, that's just a list of vulnerabilities. You need to make sure that those are not on your web-based application. And oh, by the way, you're going to do the same thing for your devices. You're going to do the same thing for the network. You know, what kinds of services do we have on our switch? Like you said, don't use Telnet. We're going to introduce SSH. Oh, we don't want Subnet 1 to have access to the switch configuration, so we're going to block them from being able to access SSH. You have to be on Subnet 2. So these are some things that you can think about in terms of making sure the different systems you have on the network are more secure, and that the network in general is more secure. Anything else you want to add?
Yeah. What I really also was kind of proud of myself, because I've been kind of bummed out about, you know, I don't do IT enough and sometimes I forget things. I was very proud of myself when I sat in there and I was like, what? Where do I begin? What do I do? Or whatever. And it's like, whoa. Okay. So when you have your network, you have to remember, and you drill this, you know, in me from day one, what kind of network? What are the needs of the network? What type of services do you need to provide? So when I sat in there, here's my router. What am I supposed to do? Okay, I need to have internet access, right? And I need to make sure that I have my DHCP for my addresses. And, you know, we did configure a pool of addresses also, you know, so we did all that and wanted to make sure that things weren't overlapping. So all of that, I was able to remember those things without kind of going, what was that? What was next? So I felt pretty good about that. I felt pretty good about the fact that this is a network. What kind of services do I need? I needed my printer. I needed internet. And I addressed that. And I think that's the reason why, even though I was terrified and upset that you were forcing me to do it right then and there, I was able to sit there, take a breath, and plug things in the right places. And when I walked away, it was like, that didn't take that long. You know, that wasn't as hard as I thought it was going to be. But I was glad that I had all those. I really need to be checking everything and making sure that everything is working. And, you know, so what type of device, what does it do, what kind of service it provides, and then you test it. So that's something that, you know, I felt really good about, and I'm glad I did it. And I'm glad that you pushed me to do it, because I really, you know, I didn't want to do it. And it's not that I didn't want to do it. Maybe that's not the right thing. I was scared. I wasn't sure that, you know, because so many times we start a project, we do something, and something always goes one little tiny bit, something goes wrong, and then it takes us a couple of days to kind of get things worked out. And I thought, what's going to happen when we do this? But I think our saving grace was the fact that we did it in our test network. And we made sure that the connection was there. We made sure the configuration was working. We did test it here. Then the ultimate test was, okay, now we implement it. Let's see if it works there as well. So knock on wood, part one.
Yeah, and while this is a smallish project, some people will say, well, that's too tiny, doesn't apply to anything in the enterprise. What we did here and the things that we identified on the router to make it more secure, and the steps we took, the Cisco network lifecycle is always in the back of my mind. Prepare, plan, design, implement. So we actually did some preparing where we gathered information, and then we did some planning. We have the network design. Now, while it's tiny, it's still a process that we are using. We still went through a process of trying to identify potential weak points in the system to make it more secure. So there's a lot of things here that you can say, yeah, it's tiny, but you're going to do the same kinds of things in that enterprise environment.
Well, tiny or not, the process applies. And tiny or not, I'm glad we have a process. Because I not that I didn't realize how important the process was, But I was very pleased that we had a process, that we had something to fall back on instead of like, okay, what do I have to do, you know?
Yeah, and that's something that's also really important here. And that's why I said, you know, I learned something about my backout plan, that it was kind of off. It wasn't really a backout plan. It was a reconfiguration plan, which sometimes works, but it's kind of painful to have to go back in and say, okay, let's take out what we just put in.
And where was this on? So, you know, I think that was a good idea. While I was all for reconfiguring my router at home, I mean, they were both the same routers, and I thought, you know, we'll just swap it. And then I was comfortable with the fact that if it didn't work, we can plug everything back in. But and I'm glad that we did it that way. I'm glad we didn't reconfigure
it. Yeah, and that's the kind of safety net that some organizations don't have. In fact, I've been in situations where I was the one not providing that kind of safety net. And when you work in that kind of environment, it's a little stressful because in the back of your mind, you know, oh, we have no safety net. We have no safety net. What happens when this goes away? And I worked with other people who were less... they didn't have as much experience. And so for them, it was even worse because they're the ones that are like, oh my God, there's no safety net. I don't want to have to be the one touching this. And what happens when it breaks and I'm the only one here?
Well, picture my stress. I had a safety net and I was still terrified I was going to screw up the whole thing.
Yeah. But again, we want to point out that this went in flawlessly. Used your documentation. And the big thing is you double checked and verified that the thing was working. You used your testing from your Surface Pro to make sure you had internet. You asked me about my phone to make sure that was working. You checked your printer for the correct IP addresses. So all of this was done perfectly. I don't think we could have done it any better.
No, I mean, I was surprised that because you said something, oh, all you have to do is plug it in. And I was like, it's not that simple. Something's going to go wrong. And then... As I sat in there and I was so mad, I was just like, oh, I realize I'm not angry. It's my fear. It's my fear of something going wrong. And then I thought, if I'm feeling like this, you know, when I'm trying to do something in my own home network, how am I going to handle something when I'm on an environment where it's somebody's business, you know, and it's live and clients are there and you know, money gets lost if resources are down. You know, I need to make sure that I can walk in there and I know this inside out and I have the confidence and you know, my backup plan to be able to say, yeah, I can do that. Worst case scenario, it's not going to cost you a lot of money because we can put it back in. This is my backup plan, you know. So I've learned a lot.
Yeah, I thought this was good. So we're going to have some of this information in our show notes. If you want to send us, let me start over again. If you want to look at our show notes, you can go to osnap.section9.us. And if you want to send us comments or ask us questions, you can email us at info@section9.us.
Thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening.